and welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
On FBI Radio with Robbie Armfield,
Tom
Montefiore, and
Jordan
Shanks.
Hello. What's up?
What's going on, guys? On FBI Radio 94.5 FM, we've got some fun chat coming up and some great tunes.
Yeah, we do. So, to start off with, we're talking about living to the fullest, living life to the fullest. So, who lives life to the fullest?
And what does that mean? So, I guess we should probably start off with, what is living life to the fullest?
It's a question that came up because my girlfriend, while driving up to Newcastle, she was saying that she thinks living life to the fullest is travelling around the world. And I said, maybe, but there has to be an element of extreme to it. You can't just go to Paris and then maybe Spain and say like, yeah, no, that's fine. That's living life up.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You have to go to Baghdad. And as soon as I said that, she said, no, I'm not doing that. And I said, well, then you're not living life to the fullest, surely. That's just what your ideal life is.
Yeah.
So my theory is, surely living life to the fullest must include a lot of extreme sports.
Or, like, going to war or something like that.
Sure, that probably does beat jumping out of a helicopter where you know you're going to live. War, as we all know, is a mixed bag of life.
Well, like, we have a friend who has just done the most... that way. We'll travel around the world and do, like, go free bungee jumping and stuff. And
he's not really a friend, is he?
He's not really a friend, but we went to school with him. And he...
Somebody that you used to know. Gotcha.
Thank you, gotcha. Nice. Yeah, and he does this... he did that thing where you go out into rural Australia and go kangaroo...
he'd go shooting.
Wrestling. Or, like, or cattle, like, on this huge cattle ranches, and there's a photo of him, like, hanging out of a helicopter.
He's flying it, like, solo. He's flying it solo, wrangling cattle.
That's great. One hand on the steering wheel, a machine gun in the other.
Yeah, a lasso in the other.
It's quite a remarkable photo.
Cowboy of the sky.
Yeah, but don't you think that's living life to the fullest? One year working at a bar on PP Island, and then the next year wrestling cattle from a helicopter, which I don't think he has qualifications to fly a helicopter, but he has somehow managed to just get himself in that position. Yes. I reckon that kind of guy, living life to the fullest.
Where do you go from there? You'd have to genetically modify some form of cattle to go on the moon and in an astronaut suit try and wrestle them. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
there's nothing more extreme.
He misses out on are the kind of things where you need to work. You know, like, he'll never know what it feels like to be a corporate executive. Something like that.
I don't know.
I mean, that's pretty close to death. I can imagine purgatory. Actually, the Catholic Church just said that it doesn't exist anymore. So let's just all pretend that this conversation happened a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
In purgatory, I would imagine that would pretty much be it. Business conference after business conference of the annual quarter report of staplers has gone up by 3 points.
So living is just, yeah, the more adrenaline you can get going through your body is how much you're living.
Yeah. The exact opposite of a zombie.
Mm.
I mean, zombies can barely walk.
Yeah.
As we've learned from The Living Dead and a myriad of other... That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the correction. I don't really care. Don't really watch
it. Yeah, I don't watch it either. It looks like garbage. But I reckon Jack Nicholson, I reckon he's got it down pat. I reckon this guy... Look at this guy. He is absolutely minted. He's got a place in Aspen. He plays all the best roles. He's got all the best friends. He wears sunglasses inside. But unlike, you know, Pharrell... It's okay. It's not like an utterly douchebag thing to do. You know, he's like kind of cool.
He loves golf.
He's King Jack.
He's King Jack. You know, everyone wants to work with him and gets the best roles. He's absolutely minted, this guy.
In his house, he has a driving range at the top of Hollywood Hills where he'll just like hit balls off and like onto like Elijah Wood's roof and stuff like that.
And to be damned if it hits somebody else's glass.
Yeah.
He's living life to the fullest. Just smashing other celebrities' windows. Yeah. He's pretty full on.
Yeah.
How do you reckon he'd... What do you reckon he'd say?
To if we told him that he lives life to the fullest.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of Robbie's classic
Austin Powers impersonation.
Yeah, Austin Powers, but...
With a tinge of Jack.
Yeah.
Essence of Nicholson.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
All he does to make that impression is narrow his eyes slightly. So it's just Austin Powers.
2016 year of impression based segments, baby. What do you reckon?
And that's
about-
all this was just to get to
an
that
excuse just, for Robbie just to be able to do a Jack Nicholson impression.
What do you guys reckon of Jamiroquai? Do you reckon Jamiroquai is living life to the fullest, or do you reckon?
I reckon what has Jamiroquai done since? He just put out a bunch of songs that sound vaguely like they could have been made in the 70s. Like he was trying to constantly change the theme song to that 70s show. Seemed to be the entire goal of that man's musical career. What has he done in the last 10 years?
I don't know. I mean, well, I guess...
But he's living life to the fullest, and that's why he's no longer trying to get his theme song on the 70s show.
Yeah. Well, you'd probably think Schwarzenegger would be living life to the fullest, wouldn't you?
No, I really don't. After reading his biography, I admire the man a lot, but being a governor is not living life to the fullest.
Really?
So, well, I mean, do you really think it would be? All those lives on your shoulders, Robbie. You've got more things to do than just wrestle kangaroos out of a helicopter.
Yeah.
What about Tom Cruise when he's training for the most recent Mission Impossible film and he's learning how to do that stunt where he's holding onto the aeroplane as it's like taking off?
Okay, actually, stop right there, Tom. Right. You've just shut this segment down.
Why is that?
Because you found it. Peekaboo, I see you.
Tom the Cruise. Man who's-
He has to be, surely. As if is when anybody stunt- living life to the fullest more than Tom Cruise?
When he's insisting to do his own stunts and they're like, you can't do it, Tom, it's too dangerous, and he insists.
Yeah.
And they're saying, all right, Tom, hold on to this plane, we're about to take it off and we've got cameras all around you, this shot's going to cost $10 million. As if that isn't the most full life in like the minute. Who are, like, if
this,
you look at everyone in the world.
Star, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, a stuntman / mega superstar.
Yeah, like,
who is living life to the fullest more than that?
The 10 minutes when they were filming that scene, would there be anyone else in the world living more fully at that moment than Tom Cruise?
Oh, God, certainly, certainly.
Name and shame him, then.
Well, I think...
Certainly.
You just need to look at Tom Cruise's life. Like, recently I watched the documentary Going Clear about the Scientology. And, you know, they've basically got him... they've got him over the rails, that guy. Like, they've got so much compromising information about him that they've managed to ascertain through their process of...
How is that not living life to the fullest, though? That's
being
even
blackmailed
more
by a church.
Being blackmailed. He's a prisoner. This guy is a prisoner.
Found him. Exactly.
Potentially.
And
I think
a
he
superstar.
Might be, yeah, but he could be just,
he
like,
can't
just crazy.
Sleep at night. And he does huge stunts.
He's a prisoner, man. He's a prisoner. And I think he's also crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, his mind is just always racing.
We're all saying the same things, but like, I don't know why we're not agreeing. I really don't understand why there's any contention in this.
I think maybe, like, what about this, though? All right. Michael Jackson popping the at the end of, like, a moonwalk. I reckon, like, at, you know, at a stadium show, he just got... Like that. I reckon that might be the...
Yeah, that, yeah, I agree. I reckon in that moment, he would probably be living the life the fullest over anyone else alive at that moment.
No, I still think Tom Cruise saying, well, for Mission Impossible 2, I had to hold my breath for 6 minutes.
So, do you think when Tom Cruise is... If, say, Michael Jackson was doing a stadium show at the same moment as Tom Cruise was doing his own stunt...
At the very same moment as well as Michael Jordan was, like, slamming...
Doing his, like, yeah, that...
Doing
big-
a slam dunks.
Yeah, doing a dunk. Who's living
dunks,
the fullest?
Of course, is also probably a contention for living life to the fullest. One of the greatest attributes that we have to this radio show, a man that texts in all the time and finishes every text with either your boy dunks out or slam dunks.
Yeah, which we can't do this week, unfortunately, because we're in the past right now.
Pre-recorder.
told not to say that. Yeah. Anyway. Too late.
So with that, let's move to a song.
Shall we?
Sure.
You reckon? Okay.
I was enjoying that, but yeah, sure. Songs are good too.
Okay, so this is a song called Babysitter's Club. It's by the DHDFDs, who are a New Zealand band that are unfortunately breaking up. So here's a little goodbye to them. Hello there, Babysitter's Club by the DHDs. You've got it tuned. Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 with Jordan, Tom and Robbie.
Where now the anchor is suffering puberty, apparently. And had a testy pop cup.
Yeah, Robbie's like dancing and kind of jamming to the song while it's going. And then as soon as it stops,
really deep voice.
Ah, hello, Robbie here.
All right, now we're going to be talking about stuff that just goes down an absolute treat on the radio, may I say. Just spurious facts, spurious stories, conspiracy theories on the radio.
All right, but this game is a bit more interesting because what we're going to do is we're going to say a potential conspiracy theory, and the other two people have to work out whether or not you're just completely lying, or if it's
whether
a
conspiracy's on you.
Yeah, or if it's like a legitimate
You've been played.
All right, so Robbie, give us an example. What's yours?
All right. So, The Men in Black, right? It's a movie about two guys going around, you know, saving the planet from aliens, right?
Yes, I think everybody vaguely remembers Men in Black.
Okay. It's, you know, there's a conspiracy theory. You have to guess if it's true or not.
Yep, that's already been explained. Yep.
That it's just two dudes going around erasing everyone's memory so that his wife won't ever hear from people that her husband is alive. He's chosen that life and thinks she'll do better without him.
All right, you're reading something off your phone, so I think it's easy to think that this is a conspiracy theory because you're reading an article.
You don't know if I've written this or not. You know that I write stuff on my phone all the time.
And I thought this was conspiracy theories about the world, but you think... So this is just somebody's interpretation of the movie plot to Men in Black.
Sorry, what?
What are you saying here, Robbie?
Yeah, clarify what your conspiracy theory is.
Is this about the movie Men in Black and the plot? Or is
You're saying that there are real Men in Black erasing people's lives?
No. The conspiracy in the film Men in Black.
So in the movie Men in Black, when there is mind erasing stuff happening, actually happening.
No. It's like within the it's like the plot.
It's so much more basic than that. This is just such a poor start to this segment.
It's like within the plot of Men in Black.
Yeah.
You know the I don't know his name, the white guy.
Agent J.
What?
Tommy Lee Jones.
What's his name?
Agent J.
All right. What?
J.
Okay, wait. I'm just saying, like, all right, so you know how he, like, a big aspect of his portrayal in that film is that, you know, he's got this wife that he never wants to see or whatever. And so the conspiracy theory, you've got to guess, you know, is it real, a conspiracy, or did I come up with it? It's that he's trying to go around and erase everyone's memory so that nobody will go to the wife and say, oh, I saw your husband. You know,
Hope you've made it up, because it's just an awfully thought out
thing. No, because it's like so he's going around like it's sort of like it's a half a bit of his business. Obviously the main bit of business is saving the world from the aliens, but like it's all through the veil of making sure that his wife never finds out that he's still alive so that she can have a better life and so that he can do his job to the fullest.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that the
I'm pretty
of it?
Sure. Yeah. And on top of this, I love how this has changed very quickly from being a quiz on the radio to us essentially cross-examining Robbie's quiz question. Yeah. Like, it's turned into a trial.
All right, was it real or not? Oh, yeah, I'm going to say fake. I'm going to say you made it up.
It's... Yeah, sorry. Jordan?
I mean...
Let's hope
you've
so.
Given me no option, Robbie. I've got to say, you've just made it up. It's just been such a poor execution. It is unbelievable how bad that was.
It's it's a conspiracy theory that I have for the film.
So you made it up.
Well, it's a legit theory that I have.
By you. You've come up with
every
it.
Nobody conspiracy theory is made up by somebody, right?
No.
For Christ.
Yes. But with
you don't get out on this technicality, Robbie. It is made up
by you. Is the point? Not by someone else. You haven't heard of this theory. You've just made it up to us.
All right, I'll give you another one. So
please don't.
No, let me do one.
Please do. All right, okay. That is just. What a waste of time.
Okay,
Tom,
so this
please
one,
salvage this.
So this one's brand new. It's just come out in the last couple of days. But FBI files have been leaked. suggesting that Hitler, shortly after Berlin was invaded, escaped in a submarine with a woman who was his lover and a few other German families to Argentina, where they then ran to the foothills of the Andes and lived there happily. And then later Hitler died in Brazil. And J. Edgar Hoover...
He wanted
Hoover.
To see Carnival. Can you blame a guy?
Yeah, and like there's these FBI leaked documents saying that he's cut off his moustache thing, and yeah, he's chilled out in South America for the rest of his days. But there wasn't enough evidence to kind of, you know, keep going and you know, find him or anything. They just gave up.
Can I quickly just ask you a question? What do you think about that idea?
What do you mean? Like, whether it's possible or not?
Like, dislike?
Yeah, I like the idea. I think it's a cool idea. Because it kind of is a thing where you could imagine them... like, I can't see... I don't know. You feel as though they would probably pursue those kind of things. Like, you'd like to know... because there's always been a thing where you don't know how Hitler died. You know, people always talk about that. They're like, yeah, he just, like, killed himself at some point, but they never found the body or something.
Really?
Apparently.
I don't know why this is an old... this is such an old conspiracy theory that Nazis escaped to South America, including Hitler.
Mm.
I mean, it was a Simpsons joke when he's just like an old man doing some shopping. He goes, "That dead phone, that nuisance of a phone." And Bart's calling him.
Right. Oh, damn. As I didn't know you guys knew it. Oh,
so,
right.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to have to say, from jogging my own memory, like everything I know about in life, thanks to the Simpsons. Yeah.
It's a legit conspiracy.
That is incredible. Every single day, that episode helps me out in some way.
Well, there was actually a Guardian article this morning. There was an article this morning about these FBI files that have been, like, revealed because enough time has passed, and it talks about the actual, like, the FBI were seriously, like, considering these kind of tip-offs that people were saying. Like, some South American fugitive was saying that he... helped, like, aided Hitler in settling in South America, like, helped him off the submarine.
What was his name, though? Was it, like, Charles P.F. Squirrelson III? Because it'd be great if the FBI was sitting there being like, okay, so that's your name, and, oh, crap, it's a prank.
Yeah, it feels like one of those things where it could just be, like, the document is just so juicy to read that you just ignore that it's just been some thing of, like, yeah, technically we have to record every tip-off that we get and we're just going to, you know, put it in the files, but obviously it's stupid. But then, like, years later, they have to reveal that file and someone reads it and they're like, holy shit, the FBI knew. So, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Jordan.
Really?
Oh, God. All right. Well, I've got another one. It's really quick. All right. But this is actually a real one that I just sort of read and I thought it was quite interesting.
Oh, fuck.
What?
The game is to... All right.
We had the game. Now, let's just do some other conspiracy chat. Okay. Like, look. There's going to be... okay. The World Banks. Okay, the World Banks of the world. Yeah, they've got... the money is being changed from paper, from real tangible currency, into the online, right?
So it's going to make as many zeros as you want.
It's going as ones and zeros, you know, and so...
such a basic knowledge of that.
And what this is going to mean eventually, you know, you have your credit cards, you have all this sort of stuff where you can just sort of swipe it now, right?
Right.
Now, what's going to happen is there's going to be controlled blackouts, okay? So this money is just going to, like, poof, disappear, you know, every now and then, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually what they'll do is they'll do, like, a big mass blackout and all the money will just poof, disappear. And the world will revert back to pure poverty, pure slavery.
Pure.
and a good example of how this is actually gonna work, right?
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw recently, but there was a girl that was awarded $4 million into her account.
Yeah.
It was some messed
Australian.
Up... yeah, some Australian girl. And she spent it all. And they're trying to work out now if she's a criminal or not. Anyway.
That is the most ridiculous story because she was given an overdraft. It wasn't just $4 million. This is a pedestrian article that was like... the title was just very misleading.
It's on 7 News as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all reporting on it. She's being charged with fraud, but it was an overdraft amount, which is a loan. So she was just given a $4 million loan, essentially, of which she spent almost all of it. And then she just... obviously, you repay an overdraft account. Like, it's not... it just, oh, I have $4 million. It was credit, which she just spent. It's like a credit card. And then she tried to escape to some, like, Malaysia or something like that. And then they caught her and charged her with fraud. It's like, it's not, like, it's so simple. It's not just like, oh, I woke up and $4 million in my account. Kind of. But it's just waking up and having a loan for $4 million.
Yeah, but it's interesting how...
So say if the skeptic, though.
They've put the money in the account.
Let's hear the conspiracy theorist.
Well, exactly. Look, poof. Poof, the money's there. Okay, so this is an example of where the money appears. They're testing out the new... They're testing out the technology now.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is money going...
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you later.
Yeah, see you later, money. Money go bye-bye. Okay, this is what's eventually going to happen. But now they're saying that, you know, giving people a little taste of goodness, a little taste of, oh boy, bit of money here. You know, and then they're just going to pull the rug from out underneath us. All the money's going to go bye-bye.
Such a perfect conspiracy theory, because no one knows anything about economics. So they can just be like, you know, they could just take your money out of your account, couldn't they? And you just have to be like, yeah, they could do that, couldn't they?
Yes. Any theory about world banking systems that can be described with onomatopoeias like poof and vermoose.
Vermoose.
You've got to question the legitimacy of it. Nonetheless, I give that an 8 out of 10 in scariness, and I think the music added about 2 of that. But that's pretty terrifying, that thought, isn't it?
Like the gold standard to credit change is like, what? That's what that is. That's what you're saying, right?
No. Specifically... poof.
Some men just want to watch the world burn us away.
Your impressions. Okay, let's go to a song.
Shall we? You reckon we've got a good enough chat for the rest of this? Coming up, no, we actually do. Like, listen, people, you know, Jordan is going to talk about the budget. We're going to do a budget response.
So desperate, wasn't it? Just twiddling really scaredly through his notes of this show, going, no, please listen, we've got other things coming up.
We're going to do poetry. We're going to talk about, you know, Tom's in a jury. And
yes, that's right. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Robbie's going to read out a haiku on a youth-oriented alternative music radio station because the people aren't annoyed enough with people taking up an hour basically chatting. He's also going to start reading out an art form they definitely don't want to hear.
Okay, now we're going to have a song called Campo. It's by Toro y Moi. You were Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio. That was the song Campo by Toro y Moi. A little bit of a chilled one for you on a Monday. You're with your boys Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio.
So now we're going to get a bit more serious and talk about the budget. So, it happened last week.
We are just by mentioning the words budget, and then we're going to bring the pep of this show right back up because it's pretty hilarious what happened in it. It's so gratifying to see this happen. For 2 years... the Liberal Party has been so unbelievably heartless in their cuts to welfare, cuts to hospitals, cuts to education, cuts to the environment, cuts to scientific services, cuts to the taxation department, cuts to everything, right? In benefit of tax cuts to the wealthy. That's where all that tax money is going. It's massive fraud. In this budget, they've tried to make it look like they don't... that they're not, they're on our side, they're on the general population side, and they have a heart.
Well, everyone seemed to be pretty happy with it. Like, no one was kind of annoyed by it that I was around. Like, it was quite
because it's by contrast, that's why. Okay, who are you around?
Oh, just in general, like on social media. Like, that's what I mean more.
Okay,
like,
so you were around no one. You were just looking into your computer,
I was
sadly.
Plugging myself in.
All my friends on Twitter.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing.
On the Twitter feeding trending buddy budget 2016.
Yeah.
My budget buddies.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like the last budget, though, received like scathing reviews where everyone was very upset about it.
Yeah, because everybody's so used to it. Everybody's just says it's one of these things where it's just become a motion of inertia that you expect the Liberal Party to be extremely heartless in their budget handdowns.
So you
just go, oh, well, this one's slightly better than when they regressed Australia by 2,500 years. Yes, 2,500 years. Permit me to explain.
All right, go on. I'll permit that.
Thank you very much. I was waiting for that, much like a vampire who needs to get into somebody's house with permission. I do need Tom to give me the go-ahead for every sentence I say.
Yeah, I'm constantly nodding and approving.
Go ahead, Jordan. Go ahead. Say it.
All right. Okay, here we go.
So, Emperor Caligula.
Okay.
Utterly insane. This was an absolute monarch who probably suffered from syphilis.
He was referred to as the monster.
Really?
Is his nickname.
Yeah. Didn't know that, and I'm a Roman history buff.
Yeah.
Always
learning, you know. Anyway, yeah, go on. So, the monster.
Who thought that he was King Neptune, I believe, as well. Boss. He also, yeah, straight up boss, thought he was a god. He bankrupted Rome by selling off all of Rome's assets to pay for a palace for his horse. This massive mansion for an equine. Right?
Did it deserve it?
An equine. Did you hear that, Robbie?
Yeah, I don't know if that's right. Is that the right word for that?
I don't know.
Never equestrian, equatorial Guinea, imagine, right. Is habitated a house for an by equine. Horses that are in business suits.
Yeah. All right, go on. I'll allow that.
All right.
Do you know the horse's name?
This is a really good segment.
Do you know the horse's name?
Yes, I do. And by yes, I do, I'm going to have to do exactly what you do in kindergarten, where you put up your hand and they go, okay, Jamie, and then you go, forgot. I don't know why. I don't know why that was a thing.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not answer it?
Your hand up for so long that you'd forget your hand was up, and they'd be like, what do you want? And you'd be like, oh, I forgot my question.
But I think a lot of kids caught on to that and thought that it was just a thing that other kids were doing, that they were just getting attention so they could say forgot, and then eventually, yeah. Like, the kindergarten teacher would just have to say every few months or so, all right, I know what's going on here. Yeah.
As if they were getting credit for knowing the answer, even though they were just being highlighted, yes, for their not knowing.
Yes. A partial credit for displaying their ignorance.
Yeah. It's kind of like uni, actually. You would get points for just, like, bringing up discussion, even if you just had no idea what you were talking about.
That's... an arts degree... is 3 years of kindergarten.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyway,
so yes, Caligula, I can't remember his horse's name.
Yeah,
don't know if equine is the right word to discuss horses, but look, this is going smoothly. When Rome was bankrupted and they said, you need money, he goes, all right, I'll take care of it. So he goes up to France, gets legions of soldiers to collect seashells for weeks, comes back, and says, I have looted the treasures of Poseidon and replenished the treasury of Rome. And because he's an absolute monarch, everyone has to go...
They're seashells.
They're seashells. No one's able to say it.
What?
If what anybody that? Says that, like, they're seashells, they're worthless, they'd be dead. So you just have to sit there and be like, oh, that's a lot of shells.
Wow.
Look at that. That one's purple and pink. Oh, no. So that guy, the guy that was that nuts, he gave welfare to the citizens of Rome. The Liberal Party wanted to starve people on welfare by giving them nothing for 6 months. It is more insane than a policy of some guy that suffered from syphilis that had absolute power over the known world from 2,000 years ago. It is insanity. But this is absolute insanity.
But this is, again, though, that was the last budget.
So that's what I'm saying. In this budget, they've upgraded to being just as good as somebody who was insane and was suffering from syphilis.
Oh, so now they've got rid of that.
They're on par with it. Yeah.
All right. But yeah, okay.
Because this is what's happened with their new intern program that they've got from the budget, where they're going to pay you to start an internship with a company for $4 an hour. So close to a fifth of what minimum wage is here. That's what they want you to work for. I mean, keep in mind, this was the same government that was saying that we are spending far too much on welfare. We can't afford it. That's why we need to starve them. They've just put close to $1 billion more onto the welfare bill because it benefits big business, obviously, because if you're able to hire somebody that you don't have to pay, why would you pay someone a full-time wage? I mean, I own a small business. My entire small business is just calling out wealth income inequality of the Liberal Party. Even I'm thinking of getting those interns.
It is too good of an offer. I'm not made of stone. They've just offered us slaves. They have just offered us slavery. And this is the Liberal Party trying to look like it has a heart. It is exactly like Lisa Simpson saying to Mr. Burns, "You're pure evil. And when you're trying not to be evil, you're even more evil."
This is the, yeah, but this is their plan of trying to wean us onto the idea of slavery.
Of credit.
But, yeah.
Before, oh, it ties more into the world banking.
Exactly. Taking out before money, the right. blackout and the money goes bye-bye, they're getting us used to slavery. You know, this is Malcolm Turnbull's idea. I'm calling him out on it.
He was a banker. He was a banker. But for Goldman Sachs, no less.
To get the $4 minimum wage thing, the $4 internship, isn't that, though, you have to be on a certain income, like, grouping? Like, it's not just anyone. Like, you would pay someone a proper wage if you wanted really skilled work, for instance. Like, if you wanted to just...
Yeah, but why not just train up a bunch of... Why not just train them up? I mean, it's not hard in my job. You just need to learn how to use iMovie. I mean, any 15-year-old can rent footage of a Teletubby. That's my entire business.
Well,
it would take about 10 weeks. No offense, Matt, if you're listening. You're very appreciated for what you do, and you're probably on less money than those $4 an hour interns.
Yeah, so what else happened in the budget? There was something about... I read like a winners and losers article by the ABC.
Yeah, apparently, we've all seen those.
Students lost, apparently. I don't know why.
Text in, because we ain't here.
Yeah, so nobody knows. Nobody cares. Let's just move on to the Google tax.
Oh, and negative gearing as well. So that, like, everyone was a bit sad because no one touched... They didn't touch that.
And defended it as always of going, this is what mums and dads use. But plumbers.
I don't...
Electricians. That's how they get ahead for investing.
Mm.
Yeah. But also who gets ahead is your property developers who take about 80% of negative gearing out of the budget. It's the top 10% that use negative gearing. They get about 80% of those concessions. So obviously they're just protecting wealthy property developers that donate to their party. It is so see-through.
Why do people care about it now, though? Like, why do people care about negative... Like, negative gearing has been around for a long time.
Can we get a brief, just for people that don't understand what it is? Just
what negative gearing is?
Yeah, just a brief rundown.
It's a way you can kind of offset the kind of income that you earn off an investment property so you can... So, there's, like, you can positively gear an income, like, an investment property, or you can negatively gear it to kind of help you tax-wise. So, it's kind of using costs, like, income that you would use to then pay off your mortgage, you can gear it in a way to kind of help you in your tax. But if you own the home, you're unable to consider it an investment, so you're unable to use that kind of financial tool to help you tax-wise.
You're listening to BTN, Behind the News, where everybody thought, hey, what happened to it? It switched from ABC to Channel 10 about 10 years ago. And no, it's here. It's here now with your host, Tom, giving you very simple rundowns of very complicated policies that is actually really well explained and succinct.
But
that's what BTN does.
The thing with it, though, is that it... the people. The reason why, like, a lot of people on the left are down on it is because it... helps people that are owning kind of their second property that they can as their investment property, or not necessarily. Like, you could buy your first property and
also
use it
their
as
seventh
an investment property.
Property.
Yeah, like personally, I'm not that against negative gearing, but it's a. I can see why it is. It's not good for society as on a greater whole, probably. But
probably. It takes like $5 billion out of the budget every year, so people can get a tax cut for owning a second house.
Well, invest it, yeah.
Well, it's an investment, and that, I mean, that's a legitimate part of the
economy.
Well,
anyone can
use
the tool.
Is sitting there and doing nothing and forcing other people to work to pay off your house.
Kind of.
Kind of.
In kind of a backwards way of seeing it, yes. No, yeah. But like, what I don't get about it, though, is that it's been around for a long time, like through Labour governments and everything. Like, why is it now suddenly a thing that we're saying, like...
Because they're always saying, we don't have money for hospitals and schools.
Mm.
You do. You just have to...
Make more of it.
You just have to stop people getting these ridiculous tax concessions from... capital gains tax cuts and negative gearing. We should put in $13 billion a year into the budget, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I probably am. It was years ago that I made those videos.
But, yeah, I just don't understand why it's this budget that it's suddenly, like, a big policy issue. Like, why weren't you mad about this?
It's just people ringing the bell on social media about it for ages. Because it started with the Liberal Party gutting $80 billion from schools and hospitals, saying we can't afford it. But then keeping ridiculous handouts like that and fossil fuel subsidies and superannuation tax cuts, which, again, they've just been like, hey, we're getting tough on that. We've going to stop people putting in $30,000 a year in tax-free into their super accounts. We've wound that back down to a much more reasonable and sane $25,000 a year that you could put in, while they gave millionaires in this country a $17,000 a year tax cut. Yeah. So they just gave them three times the amount in tax cuts that they took away from their superannuation account. That it is incredible. It is incredible that this budget, everybody's going, oh, no, it seems reasonable. Good old sane Malcolm.
Okay, wrapping up. Happy with it, Jordan, or no? All right, we're going to go to a song now. It's called 4 Degrees. It's by Anoni, which is a collaboration with Anthony and the Johnsons, 106 Point Never, and Hudson Mohawk. You with Tom Montedudu and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio, 94.5 FM. All right. Beautiful song there by Anoni, a collaborative project with Anthony and Johnson's 106 Point Never and Hudson Mohawk. The song was called 4 Degrees. You're with your boys, Tom Adidudu and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5. It's time now for a little bit of poetry on the radio. Okay, so I've got here a collection of haikus from Yosa Buson, who is a Japanese haiku poetry man. And
poetry, you man. Know, so you have so many poetry books.
And here's a little one.
Just give us one.
I'll just give you one here. As one man goes out of the fort for firewood, a pheasant screams.
What do you reckon of that, Jordan?
All right, I was coming in here thinking of ways to derail this, possibly throw something at Robbie to liven it up. I think it speaks for itself.
Pretty damn good, isn't it?
It's pretty amazing.
Thank you so much. I mean, I don't want to take credit. That's not, you know, Yosa Buson. I mean, he's a Japanese poetry man and from the ancients.
But you owe some credit to yourself as well. You had the vision and foresight to see that you little punks out there that are always asking for the newest, most edgy music, sometimes what you need is simplicity.
Yeah, that's it. You curated that poem. So I think you get credit for that. It's kind of like your Instagram, you know, like you kind of...
Yes, which it may have been created by that Japanese haiku artist, but you edited his works.
You saw the value in it.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So you did just as much, basically.
Yeah, and also, just as a thing out there, follow Friendly Geordies on the Instagram.
just like Tom likes negative gearing because he thinks that investing is a legitimate part of the economy. Like, that's the same with you. You've just invested in true talent.
That's it. Yeah. We're all artists.
So there we go. That's a bit of poetry on the radio.
Particularly Robbie.
Hopefully we'll be doing that. So thank you, Robbie. We'd like to continue that in the future.
I'd love to do that again.
But
now,
if you don't want it, text in to 0405-945-945.
That's correct.
0409-945-945.
If you don't want to hear that again, 0409-945-945.
And also put it up on the Friendly Geordies Facebook page, particularly if you just want us not to do it again, purely to upset Robbie. And I think the best way to do that is to put up a picture of a child that is crying as a giant crushes one of those little idea bubbles on the side of his head.
All right, so now Robbie's had his turn to do what he wants for a segment. Jordan, what are your ideas for the segment? This has got a very rough history to it.
Because this whole segment... this whole portion of this segment that we've got here, it's ideas that the other two vetoed. I don't think I came up with any ideas this radio. They were both vetoed by both of you, and I said, I'll show you, they're great. Same with Robbie with his haiku thing. We didn't believe in it, but I think that we're going to be just as pleasantly surprised as we were with the beautiful writings of Japanese haikus.
Yeah.
By me asking you guys, you know that Flo Rida song that's on the radio at the moment?
Let's hear it for a second.
What about it?
It's got a good start. Everybody in the studio is swaying to the undeniable beats of Flow Rider, who has very cleverly put Flow Rider on his back with a picture of Florida to show you that that's where he's from. And you can break it up like that.
I'd never noticed that.
Me neither.
What?
Until he...
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Yeah, I'd never...
Surely.
What?
The name Flow Rider. It's Florida.
Yeah, I'd never noticed it.
Oh, for goodness.
Oh, whatever, Robbie. Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
I beg of you.
Anything about that. Give me truth. All right.
Yes. Tom's motto to life. Give me truth or give me silence.
Okay, now we're going to ask the question. Guys, what's your playground? Okay.
No. We have to hear Jordan out on his Flow Rider.
And I've got another segment after that. What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. I thought you just wanted to play the little segment of song.
No.
There's a question to this.
I want to do the poetry. You want to do a little bit of song.
Like, no, there's a layer to it. It's about levels more than
you
do.
Yes. Like, slightly more thought into this than you do.
Whatever.
Here's the question. Play it again, Robbie. Now that everyone's forgotten it. Welcome to my house. Okay. All right. Do you feel like going to Flow Rider's house?
Yes.
Layers.
Them layers, baby. Layers on the radio, baby.
Two half-baked layers is probably exactly the same mathematically as one layer.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure, I'll go to his house.
But do you want to? Does it really inspire the spirit to go, that house does look sick?
Look, I'm not really up to
Man,
that
if you
that.
Say, like, if you say, well, we don't even have to go out.
Yeah.
That his house is just a club.
Yeah, I know what he's saying.
Yeah, but you don't know his name is Florida.
Yeah. That's what
I really have to double check with this, though, Tom, after knowing that.
Yeah.
That you couldn't even see it from the massive Florida tat on his back where it says Flow Rider and you going, Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was like F-L-O-W, like flow, like riding with the flow, like that kind of...
No, but that's that's the illusion.
I know.
Okay. So, Robbie, what are you...
Same as Will.i.am. I know, like, it took me ages to realize it was William. Yeah.
Why are you so bad at plays on words?
I don't know.
Just didn't do the crossword much at... In
cryptic
school.
Crossword, yeah. Well, I don't know. All right, what's your second one?
He did a lot, actually. No. Cryptic, thank you.
Yeah, I do.
So, Robbie, what do you reckon? Would you go to his house?
I reckon, look, the beat's undeniable. I want to go to his house. I want to go to Flow Rider's
Robbie,
house.
Robbie, make that three.
Holy shit!
Bam, 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 bam. Okay, just turn the tables on Robbie. He's the one that usually dispenses the high fives with something... quite disappointing happens on radio, but
now
there you go,
Jordan's
bam! Jordan right. Saw that coming, eh?
All right, well, that was pretty good, Jordan. What's your next one?
Okay, here it is. If you got a donut from Coles and the donut said, you better not eat me. Yeah. This is just, the rest of the world is exactly as is. It's just this donut says to you, don't eat me. And then you say, no, I'm going to eat you. So this part is just... The next part is choose your own adventure, but this is just telling you the narrative, right? And it says, and you say, no. This is what's happening. You got to give my mouth now. And then he says, if you do, I'll put a curse on your family and they'll die. Right. They'll die of the pox.
Okay. Of the pox. Okay. Go on. Do
you eat the donut?
Okay. Can I just understand? Whoa. All right. Now, I thought we broke the radio last week. You know, we had some texts saying this chat's so bad, you guys breaking the radio. I reckon this week we'll be breaking the radio part two. But, okay, so Jordan, do you mean the donut's like speaking to you or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a little mouth, and that's it.
I don't even know why.
Half of that is a normal cinnamon donut.
What's its voice? Can we get a little thing here?
You better not eat me. You better not put me in your mouth. I've got a wife and kids, you know. This is my life. This is my life, mate. You can't do this to me.
So
I'll curse your family. I'll curse your family.
Goose.
You want the pox, my boy?
So would you eat it, Jordan?
I reckon I'd be too scared because it's a talking donut. It's probably got magic powers. I think it might be the curse might be legitimate.
Why even think about eating it? Well, I don't get why you would even question that.
Why?
Why would you
What's
eat
wrong
it?
With it? It's got it's a cinnamon donut.
It's talking to you. Just get another donut. I don't.
But this is the last one. I should also add this into the hypothetical. What You've eaten all the other 12 in the delightful $2 deals that Coles always gives out on cinnamon donuts. You've eaten all 11. You don't have another $2. This is your only option. You either don't eat this cinnamon donut, or you can't eat any more cinnamon donuts unless you go home and get more cinnamon donuts with more $2 from your house. And no one wants to do that.
I don't know how you're surprised that that's kind of a veto segment. We're not going to talk about that. Let's move right along.
Well, I just...
No, Robbie wants to have his piece on this, damn it. I told you, it's a thought-provoking discussion. And I'd really like to see the text after this. So even though this is pre-recorded, if you have an opinion on this, please text in. I really want this to break the FBI record.
We can actually check the text. So yeah. If you want, 0409-945-945. Look, what I would want to know from you, both of you, I guess, is this donut, right? It's talking. It's saying, I'm going to give the family the bloody pox, okay? Yeah. Why would you... Why would... Tom's yawning very heavily there.
It's just the
Jesus
segment.
Christ.
It's that boring.
All right, let's leave. Nah, let's
leave. I was so engrossed. Yes,
all right.
I can't believe... Nothing ever goes Tom's way on this radio show. That's the shtick. That's the shtick. We talk about nonsense. We get him angry. How does this happen?
Okay. Like, why wouldn't you believe him? Why wouldn't you believe him? Why would you...
The donut?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to take the risk. Just don't eat the donut. It's just too dumb.
But you're saying you would eat it, right, Jordan? You're saying you would eat that talking donut that was saying you're going
to eat that. No, I'm saying I'm too scared because I think that he might have the ability to curse my family. I don't want to take that. And I'm sure you wouldn't either, Robbie, which is why I crafted this question so we could get a 2-1 vote on this at least.
It's just so disappointing. Like, we've run out of time. We have to stop now pretty
much. No. Well, like, now we'll quickly do, like, your little late line thing.
I forget it. Let's just...
No, look. We'll do your little...
Yeah, you want to forget it, don't you? Because you've just realised that this is just as disappointing as mine. This is a truly awfully crafted segment.
This is Tom, reporter at law.
Okay, Tom. You have been called for jury duty, taking your civic service extremely seriously, to the point that when I send you stupid memes or little comments throughout the week, you go, sorry, mate, I can't handle with this. I'm doing court at the moment. I can't entertain your stupid shenanigans anymore. My country needs me.
Yeah, fulfilling my civic duties. But so the way this is
gave
working.
Robbie a nod.
We need to be quite quick about this. So.
Okay, the way this segment works is I'm giving you weekly updates about my court trial.
So to the extent that he legally can on air.
So Tom,
or at all.
In so public. Tom, what's been happening in the court case?
Well, Robbie, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is this: I'm in a court case, and it's 4 weeks long, and I'm a juror on that case.
Hmm.
Wait, so this is going to be a This is... How can you criticise my talking donut segment when you want to make this a 4-week-long saga?
Well...
Can you disclose anything else other than that? Can you at least tell us what the lawyers are wearing? Are they wearing the wigs?
Well, I'm not going to tell you specifics about my case, but lawyers generally wear suits. Sometimes a barrister might wear, like, the wig. But I'm not going to say if they do or... I'm not going to say if they are or aren't.
You can't confirm or deny.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Robbie.
This is so... Because it combines low-level radio with hypocrisy.
Essentially, what I'm doing is they're giving me the evidence, and I'm going to weigh that up and... You know, give my best
judgment. What's the crime?
I can't tell you that.
Is the crime a theft?
I'm not allowed to tell you that.
I can't confirm or deny.
I can't confirm or deny that. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Where's the court?
I can't confirm or deny either.
Not even that.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. So just to err on the safe
side. This maybe is the worst thing we've ever done. I honestly...
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having us this week. This is the Tom Monty Dudu and the Crocodile Crew, 94.5 FBI.
We're here every single Monday, 12 to 1, and we'll be bringing that segment back for the next 3 weeks. Keep your ears peeled, because they need to be to keep up with all the updates of that.
Okay, it's goodbye from...
Jordan.
Tom.
And Robbie. This is a song. It's called Waiting for Something. It's by Jay Retard from his album Blood Visions, 10th anniversary this year. So enjoy FBI Radio.